The following program is pre-recorded. It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton. Glad to be talking sports and other things with you. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and the Elam Group. Well, what'd you think of the NBA All-Star game last Sunday night? Did you stay up late and watch it? Team LeBron beat Team Giannis. And it was really an odd scoring system where they played to win each quarter. And then at the end of the quarter, whichever team was ahead, their charity, one of the local Chicago schools, got a $100,000 bonus, got a $100,000 gift. And you know what, though? I thought it made the All-Stars play harder. It was really kind of a unique and odd scoring format, but I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the way the players played because they really worked hard. They really wanted to win that quarter so that their charity could get the $100,000. And so I think when you base it and look back at other All-Star games, this one they played harder. Some people think almost too hard because here they are, multi-million dollar athletes. And in an All-Star game, they're taking charges and blocking shots and fouling each other. And they really did play harder, I think, than I've seen in the last several years at any All-Star game, regardless of the sport. So maybe it worked. Remember, the 2021 All-Star weekend is coming to Indianapolis. It's going to be here next year, and it will be a show. Nobody does it better than Indianapolis when it comes to just a show and putting on all the things that go on around the events. And it will be neat, and it's going to be on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2021, the NBA All-Star Show comes to Indianapolis. It will be interesting. One other final point. The tribute, I think, that they did to Kobe Bryant was really nice. Awesome just display of love, really, is what it was, from the people involved in the singing to the players and their just heartfelt reaction. It was a weekend where they celebrated Kobe Bryant as well as All-Star Weekend. Did you see the two teams? One team wore number 24, in honor of Kobe, and the other team wore number 2 in honor of Gigi, Kobe's daughter. That was her number when she played youth basketball. So number 2 against number 24. Everybody on one team was wearing 24, and everybody on the other team was wearing number 2. So that was a very nice tribute to Kobe Bryant. And again, here we come. Now the countdown to 2021 All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis is on. But first, for you Indianapolis sports fans, it's the annual NFL Combine, and it's just around the corner. It's coming to Indianapolis. I believe it starts Sunday, February 23rd, and runs through March 2nd. So the NFL Combine, we're knocking on the door for that one more time in downtown Indianapolis, which makes me think of my old friend Ray McKenna with the Catholic Athletes for Christ. Ray is on the show now here on Catholic Sports Weekly. Welcome, Ray. Good to have you aboard.
Great to be here, Will.
Yeah, that NFL Combine, you'll be here again, I hope, right?
God willing, I'm planning to be there. This will be, believe it or not, our 14th year at the NFL Combine, providing mass, confession, and other spiritual services for the coaches, the GMs, and the other attendees.
Now, the Catholic Athletes for Christ, the website is catholicathletesforchrist.org, right? Is that the best place
to go?
Well, okay. And when you guys come to the Combine, you said everything from mass to confession. And how does that work with the NFL, the coaches that are here, the general managers that are here, the scouts that are here? Do they just kind of – how do they connect with you and the CAC?
Well, we do everything we can to try to make the sacraments and the other ministry services as easy as possible, you know, for them to attend. For example – you know, this is a good year for, as an example, because about every 4 or 5 years, the Combine coincides with Ash Wednesday, as it does next week. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have 3 masses, which will be very fully attended, I'm expecting from past experience, to accommodate the coaches. And each year we try to tweak things just a little bit to make them a little more amenable and what have you. But it's always a challenge because, as I'm sure everybody in Indianapolis is aware, they've changed the schedule this year, moved a lot of the workouts into the evening, so the coaches' schedules change accordingly, and so we're trying to keep pace of that. But it's that's pretty much, if that makes sense, what we do.
Yeah. Talking with Ray McKenna with the Catholic Athletes for Christ. You're the founder and president. How many years now the CAC has been up and running?
Officially from 2006, but it was in 2004, I believe, that we first met with the Vatican Sports Office when the late St. John Paul the Great invited us over to meet with some of his people when he started that office. So it's, in a sense, began in 2004. At least the inspiration began in 2004.
Yeah, well, I know St. John, I don't know how, I struggle with saying his name. St. John Paul the Great, I think that's right. The former Pope, he was such a sports fan, wasn't he? And that's sort of how the CIA, I love your brochure where you show the Pontiff kicking the soccer ball. That was a big part of his life, wasn't it? Well, athletics.
Absolutely.
And fitness.
You know, and like every part of his life, it was directed towards God and focused, centrally on Jesus, and that's what we try to do, and is to follow in the footsteps of John Paul II, and explain how sports and the Catholic and faith, the Catholic faith especially, are so intricately related, connected.
Yeah, I know Kansas City and Father, is it Father Rocco or Rocco?
Father Rocha, Father Richard Rocha.
Rocha.
Great priest.
He was on our show last year. I remember I interviewed him during the Combine, and now he gets the bragging rights. He'll walk around with his chest puffed out a little bit more this year.
He'll be actually at the Combine celebrating one of our Masses, and he's fresh off a Super Bowl victory Mass at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's really neat, isn't it? I mean, these guys, they use it, the priests from around the different teams. I mean, we have Father Hunter here in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
They use this Combine and through CAC as sort of a reunion, don't they? I mean, they really get a chance to talk to each other, and it's
absolutely, it's a way for them to get together, kind of share their best practices and get to know each other and have some collegiality, and that's one of the purposes, why we try to bring them all together. Indianapolis is a logical meeting place for them to, to develop that. And some great relationships and some great ministry opportunities have resulted from those relationships.
We're talking with Ray McKenna, the founder and president of the Catholic Athletes for Christ. Go to their website, CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. You guys are always looking for donations, and you need help, don't you?
I mean, we need donations. If anybody can help us, and if anybody wants to be involved, in our ministry efforts there in Indianapolis, shoot us an email, and maybe we can chat or even meet next week. God willing, I'll be there, and our other members of our team, and you mentioned Father Doug, who's a big leader of our efforts there. Please, and anybody who's interested or has any other questions about Catholic Athletes for Christ, please reach out to us.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked before on this show about how the foundation, really, the NFL, is a lot about Catholicism. There were a lot of Catholics involved in the very formation of the league, and you still see that here at this NFL Combine every year, that there's still some guys with very strong faith that you wouldn't necessarily know, when you watch them on TV, when they coach, when they're in different situations, but they are faith-filled men, aren't they?
Absolutely, Will. From the foundation, I think 80% of the original owners were Catholic, and to this day, most of the coaches, head coaches, and general managers are predominantly Catholic. It's very interesting. There's a strong base of Catholicism that continues to this day.
Yeah, I know. So the Combine just around the corner, but I can't let you go real quickly without asking. I know a lot of what CAC does is with baseball. I know you'll be probably heading to some spring trainings here real soon. But baseball's in a little bit of a mess because of what happened with the Astros cheating scandal.
I can say that, yeah.
Yeah. How do you think that the priests and the Catholic Athletes for Christ can maybe help resolve some of that? Is there a way where, maybe the reconciliation? I don't know. I'm just kind of stretching here and wondering what have your thoughts been about the cheating scandal with the Astros?
It's a great question. I don't have a great answer, but I'd be stretching the truth to say that I did. I do think, it's a great opportunity, though, to discuss forgiveness, the sacrament of reconciliation. I know there's a lot of bitterness, a lot of recriminations in the game, and a lot of players, a lot of teams feel that they were unfairly cheated. That's going to take a while. There's going to need to be some healing, but, nobody's asked me, but if I was to, or maybe you did, to offer my unsolicited opinion to the Astros, I would suggest that you know, they make a stronger effort to, you know, ask for, you know, first apologize, make it clear that they know they've done something wrong, and then ask for forgiveness and say they want to move on, and then maybe that healing process can start. But it's not going to be easy, and it's not you know, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, and I think that's what people are kind of waiting for them to do, is to show that they are sorry, and they, so far, they haven't done that, right?
I think my understanding is that most of the quote-unquote apologies that have been made to date seem to be wanting, and they're not being accepted around the league.
Yeah. Well, Ray, thank you so much for jumping on board. I know today's a day off for your kids, and you're going to go do something fun, I'm sure.
On our way to the George Washington Parade, yeah.
There you go. Ray McKenna, founder and president of the Catholic Athletes for Christ. Get more information at CatholicAthletesForChrist.org. Ray, thank you, and God bless.
Thank
Hope to
you,
see you in Indianapolis.
God bless your listeners. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. We're back with more Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. It's my pleasure to welcome an old friend, Charlie Adams. StokeTheFireWithin.com is your website, and Charlie Adams is an aficionado, right, on the Miracle on Ice. And here we are, 40-year anniversary is this week of the Miracle on Ice, and you do a lot of speaking engagement talking about that big game and that big event. Welcome, Charlie Adams, to Catholic Sports Weekly.
Thank you, Will. It's an honor to be on this outstanding program, and thank you to all of you for what you do with this program and how it inspires so many.
Well, you talk about inspiration. I do appreciate that. Thank you. But that 1980 Miracle on Ice is something that lives and breathes still 40 years later, doesn't it? Why do you think, it's probably an easy question, but why do you think it's still such a very important piece of our Americana?
Well, Will, Al Michaels, who made the iconic call, "Do You Believe in Miracles?" on ABC, here it is, 40 years later, he's in his mid-70s, and he was asked, of all the things he's covered, the huge Super Bowls and World Series, Hagler Hearns, he said, that's on a shelf so high it would take a fireman's ladder to reach it. And it transcended sports in the sense of it truly was communism versus democracy. The Soviet hockey team was propaganda for communism. We were coming off the 70s. And America got behind that team, even though college hockey was certainly way down the tier in priorities for sports. We fell in love with them, and over 40 to 45 million people watched that Russian USA game February 22nd, 1980, and we related to them. You know, there were players 5'9", 5'11", that had earned their abilities through hard work, and we're like, well, gosh, our kid could do that, what they did, and we just fell in love with it. And then 3 years ago, Sports Illustrated named it the greatest sports moment in American history. So it is up there on that upper shelf, and it will always be there, and there'll never be anything like it. Nothing will ever match it, and that's, I think, why it still is so big today. That and the fact that the Disney movie Miracle came out around 2004 with Kurt Russell, that introduced it to a new generation, and many high school coaches played that movie before sectionals, and it just continues to be talked about. It's part of the memory's fading a little bit because of Father Time, but yet there's still that awareness of it, and it'll always be special.
Well, this 40th anniversary is this week, and do you know of many things going on that maybe some of our listeners could look at? Maybe it's on a website somewhere. Or
right.
How can people maybe kind of relearn or reintroduce themselves to the Miracle on Ice?
Well, Mike Iruzioni, who scored the winning goal with it 3-3, 10 minutes to go, finally after 40 years, he's come out with this book. It's called The Making of a Miracle, and it's how he grew up in this home outside Boston, you know, lower middle class, and how he got to making the biggest play in American sports history. It's an excellent book. I just read it cover to cover. It's called The Making of a Miracle. And that's one way. The team is going to be out in Las Vegas. The NHL team there is having a big multi-day event. And so a lot of fans are going out there, you know, to be a part of that. They were in Lake Placid for the 35th anniversary. And other than that, it's just there's so many stories written on it that folks can Google. Some of the best writers were there in 1980.
Yeah.
And so that's one way to do it. Or just rent the – a lot of people haven't seen Miracle because it's been out 15, 17 years,
mm-hmm.
the Disney movie. In fact, when we got to Disney Channel, whoop, there's Miracle.
Yeah, it's such a great story. And like you said, it's because these were sort of just normal guys. And they're just you know, and the Catholic faith was such a big part of this team, wasn't it?
It was. And the Iruzionis were strong Catholics outside of Boston in Winthrop. And they would always be at, on Sunday morning. They would be at Mass no matter. They weren't big partiers per se, but they'd stay up late socially because there was like 28 Italians in their three-level home, different families lived together. And when the Russian game was going on that Friday night, February 22nd, 1980, we trailed 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, we tied it. And Mike's mother, Helen, who was a cafeteria manager in Winthrop, she must have set a record for Hail Marys and prayers and everything. And his dad, who worked at a sanitation plant and waited tables at pizza, and back in Winthrop, he turned to her and he said, you know, Mike hasn't made a play yet. And he was known for always making a play in high school and at Boston University. And bam, he scored the winning goal with 10 minutes to go.
So you're saying that Mrs. Iruzioni's rosary that she was saying was probably why Mike got the winning goal.
Right, rosary, yeah. And it really did. She did it over and over. And like I say, they were strong. And the other, I think a good Catholic connection is that Lake Placid was where Kate Smith spent 40 summers, the legendary singer. And she converted to Catholicism over the summers she was there. She loved St. Agnes Catholic Church in Lake Placid, which I went in for the first time in October when I was up there speaking on the Miracle in Ice. It's a stunningly beautiful church for a town of 2,800 people. And Kate was a strong Catholic. She is buried there in the Catholic cemetery. And the team sang God Bless America after they beat Goliath, the Russians. And it's ironic, I don't think they had any idea that Kate Smith was spending all that time there, but they felt it on their hearts after they won to honor their creator. And they did so in the locker room. And there's so many moments here of their faith, and there's no doubt it was a modern-day David versus Goliath. I try to give people an example of it. It would be like the Noblesville High Girls. It's not fair to say the Noblesville High Girls basketball team beating Notre Dame. That's too straight. It would be like them beating Indiana Wesleyan, the champion NAI program, at their peak. That's about the level of it. And you would think, well, there's no way Noblesville High could beat Indiana Wesleyan or Marion University or any of the strong teams. But that's similar to what it was.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, you do a lot of talking, and we're talking with Charlie Adams. Your website is stokethefirewithin.com, and you do a lot of public speaking where people listening to this could get a hold of you on the website, stokethefirewithin.com, and you use this Miracle on Ice as a motivation speech for people who are working in whatever line of work it might be. And how do you connect the two, and how does that work?
Well, God put it on my heart in 2014 to research it. And at first I was like, okay. And then I saw within it the journey is the template for breakthrough in so many ways. It's an incredible story, the journey. The movie Miracle hits on some of it. But there are so many things we can take from it of how they came together, the love they gave the players, the sacrifice, the one of the best players on offense, moving to defense for the betterment of the team, the backup goalie who never got in, still sharpening the skates of the other skaters in intermissions, like Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. It's a very emotional story. And I've been doing it now, and I've had people cry during the talk. They'll give some of the best talks they've ever had to their kids on the way home, you know, because that Miracle on Ice was earned. And it was partly because of the values instilled in those young men in the Midwest growing up in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan in places like that. So at first people sometimes they go, well, is it a hockey talk? Our group is not. I said, no, it was hockey, but it's deeper than that. And I've done it at the State Concrete Association Conference in Indianapolis and in Carmel and Washington, Indiana. And every time, even the cafeteria workers, they always stop. and they just start listening because the story is so powerful. And it's just awesome to see how people are moved by it, Will.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the hockey. Indiana, we're still not a huge hockey state, so to speak. There's a lot of clubs that do a pretty good job. Some high schools have teams. I know Dan Elsner, the president of Marion University, still wants to see if he could get a hockey team at Marion University. He always says it because he says he'd like to get on the same arena or field or whatever, ice, with Notre Dame. he wouldn't. Now, how would that be? You think if Marion got a team and beat Notre Dame, would that be similar to this, the 80 Marion?
Oh, yeah, ice? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the right equation. It really would be. Because that Soviet team was lethal. They had beat the National League Hockey League All-Stars 6-0 the year before, and we beat them with amateurs. Yeah. But that had put themselves in position. But you're right. You know, Indiana is certainly not a hockey state. Going back to 1979, the Miracle on Ice team played in Indianapolis about 7 weeks before the Miracle on Ice. I cannot remember the franchise. It might have been the Checkers back then.
Might have been,
but they played in the old Market Square Arena, and about 5,000 people came out. No one had any idea that they were about to slay Goliath.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the game itself that surprises me is after the Americans, Team USA, tied it in the final second of the first period, tied it 2-2, the Soviets, they changed goalies, right?
It was a bizarre decision. It would be like taking out, say, if the Lakers make the finals this year in Game 7, they're going against the Sixers. And in Game 7, LeBron misses 11 shots in a row, and Vogel were to take him out for the rest of the game. And people would go, what? Well, Tretiak, the world's greatest goalie, he gave up the 2 goals in the first period, and there were a lot of politics with the Russian team. Tikhanov, the coach, was trying to get some leverage for his club team back in Moscow. And so he thought he'd put in his backup, Mishkin, and still beat us. And it didn't work out that way. And it was probably the most stunning substitution in sports history.
Yeah.
Tretiak was a god of hockey. And to take him out was, you were in and you look to Herb Brooks and go, can he put him back in? It was just like, wow.
Yeah, Herb Brooks himself is an incredible story, isn't he?
He was a genius. And there are books out there on him. I tell coaches all the time, this is a guy that had a degree in psychology. He was a man of values. He was a true Midwesterner from St. Paul, Minnesota. Never forgot his roots. Relatable. And he believed. I mean, there were other coaches that had wanted no part of being massacred by the Soviets. It's the greatest coaching job, I believe, in American sports history, from July of 79 to February of 1980. And he was just 42 when it happened. And I tell you, the guy, Kurt Russell, plays him very well in Miracle. He really got his mannerisms right and everything. But sadly, we lost Herb Brooks in a car accident in 2003 at age 66. And he just was ahead of his time. And he always said, he agreed with what John Wooden used to say, you don't put greatness into people, you pull it out. And he pulled it out of that team in a way to where they were able to beat the Russians, which is almost incomprehensible when you would start it, that journey.
We're talking with Charlie Adams, StokeTheFireWithin.com. If you want him for an opportunity to speak to your group, just go to the website. And got about a minute here, Charlie. What do you think, finally, as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, what's the inspiration that people can take from that to their daily lives?
I think the fact that it was not a miracle, that it was earned. And even the players, Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles, the Disney movie Miracle? They're okay with that. But they say what people don't understand is we put in the work, we had the love for one another, and we had the leadership, and we put ourselves in position. It wasn't like we backed into it and got lucky. And so no matter what your challenge is in life or whatever you're trying to accomplish, they showed us that it can be done. And I think it's just a way of how God used their story to revitalize our hurting nation after the messy 70s. As they say, God was there in Lake Placid. There was a lot on the line. The Soviet team was sent here to disgrace us on American soil. And what those boys did dealt a blow to communism and was one of the reasons it ended up dying years later in the Soviet Union. So those are some of the things to take from it, Will.
Well, enjoy your week. I know you will as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of that big win, Team USA. They, you know, when you hear the USA, USA, really it all relates back to that, doesn't it?
Al Michaels said that really that cheer had been heard at sports events otherwise, but it took off in Lake Placid in the second game when we beat the Czechs, the second seed, 7-3. The arena was packed, and it was just a pulsating USA. Mm-hmm. And Al Michaels said that's when that cheer really started, and it's gone strong ever since.
Well, Charlie, thank you, and have a great week. StokeTheFireWithin.com. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, buddy.
All right, we're going to take a break, close out this edition of Catholic Sports Weekly after this short timeout.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaroofingcompany.com.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Catholic Sports Weekly, underwritten by AAA Roofing Company. They are looking for workers. Go to their website, AAARoofingCompany.com, and maybe you can go to work and have a good career with AAA Roofing. I know they're great people. And also the Elam Group. Hey, the Pacers, after this All-Star break, they get back to work. They're going to be on the road this week, Friday, and then over the weekend. And then they're home basically a week from now, next Tuesday, and then next Thursday. So they're currently sixth place in the East. They have a six-game cushion on seventh place. They're two back of fifth and 3.5 games back of fourth. So they're right in the mix, but they're going to have to start playing better basketball. The Pacers have only won 3 of their last 10 games. Again, thanks to our special guests this week, Charlie Adams, the Miracle on Ice, and also Ray McKenna, who's with the Catholic Athletes for Christ. And they're getting ready for the NFL Combine, which is just around the corner here in Indianapolis. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.